Well, welcome back to week three of God is for us. If you haven't been with us for the past couple of weeks, I highly encourage you to go back and to watch the first 2 weeks, because we have been not just talking about the idea that God is for us, but specifically working through, okay, how does that work? What does that look like? How do I experience that? And what has God told us about that? And so we began in week one and we looked at the reality that God is before us. And we often think that we're entering into the unknown as we move into the future. The truth is, it's not unknown, it's just not known to us. But he knows, and he's preparing us for what's ahead. But what an incredible reality. And then last week, Anthony walked us through this powerful truth that God is pursuing us, that we didn't pursue him first. We were not the initiators of this, but that God, the God who created all of this, decided to pursue us. And I hope that as we've moved through the last couple of weeks, that this is encouraging you, that this has been a phenomenal encouragement of this reality that God is for us. I know that right now in life, things are a little bit crazy, a little bit unknown. But when you realize that God is for you, as we saw in our memory verse for this series, if God is for us, who can be against us? When we truly understand that God is for us, it changes everything. And I hope that as we've been walking through this, that this has been an incredible encouragement to you. But I know that for some of you, as we've been walking through this, you've thought, man, that's amazing. Oh, you look at what God says about how he's for us. That's incredible. And that would be unbelievable to experience if man, it would be amazing. It would be amazing for God to be for me like that. If I hadn't made that mistake last night. If I hadn't lost my temper. If I hadn't. And I'm willing to bet that for many of you, as we've walked through this, there's been an if, and that would be incredible, if I could just get it together, if I could just follow well, if, I know for me, I fall into that all the time. And someone will be trying to encourage me with who God is and what God's about and what God's doing. And I'll think to myself, man, that would be incredible if I just wasn't so screwed up. If I didn't continue to struggle. You're right. That would be amazing. If we talked about God moving before us. And many of you said that to yourself. You said, that would be incredible if. It would be amazing to be pursued by God if I could just get it together. If I could just follow. And here's why I'm confident that many of you are having that conversation. Not just because of the fact that I've experienced the same thing. That's not just why. It's because of this reality that God has taught us, and that is this. God has not just said, I'm for you, but he has also stepped into our lives and told us this, there's one who's not. He's also stepped into our lives and said, you need to understand something. I want for you to understand how I'm for you, but you also need to understand that there is one who is against you. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says this. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He says, I want for you to understand something. I want for you to know that I'm for you, but I also want for you to understand that you have an enemy. There is one. There is one who is against you. And he wants nothing more than to destroy you. And from the very beginning, from the moment that he walked away from God, he has been working tirelessly to ensure that we don't experience God either. Not only does he say, I want for you to know that I'm for you, you need to know that there's one who's against you. Now, pay attention. Listen. He's not saying that you need to be afraid of your enemy. He's not saying that you need to be consumed by this. As a matter of fact, as we work through the scriptures, God wants for us to be aware of it, but being aware of it is very different than being afraid of it. Why? Because as he says in Romans, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who is in us, the scriptures say, he's talking about the Spirit of God. He who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. He's talking about the enemy. He says, no, you need to be aware. You don't need to be afraid. And those are two very different things. But he says, you do need to be aware of this. There is one who is against you. And from the very beginning, he has been working to ensure that you don't actually experience the one who's for you. You need to be aware of this. And you need to be aware of how it is that he works. Because there's two things that he loves to do. There's two things that he excels at. The first one is this. Listen to what it says in John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, for you are the children of your father the devil. He's actually talking to the religious leaders at the time. He's talking to the Pharisees. And you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, listen to this. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In this moment, Jesus calls out something amazing. He says, you need to understand something about your enemy. Your enemy has incredible integrity. He has incredible integrity. Now, I know some of you are like, wait, what do you mean integrity? Because we think that integrity is that there's something good, that you are consistently good. That's not actually what integrity means. The definition of integrity is that you're the same throughout. In other words, you're the same no matter what the situation, you're consistent. And Jesus in this moment says, you need to understand something about your enemy. He has phenomenal integrity. He is consistent. And one of the things that he's going to consistently bring into your life is lies. And these lies that God is against you. These lies that God wants nothing to do with you. These lies that you'll only be accepted if you get it right. This lie that it's up to you to pursue God as opposed to understanding that he's actually pursued you. You see, one of the things that he's phenomenally good at, the one who is against you, is that he's phenomenally good at lying to us. And so from the very beginning, he steps into the life of Adam and Eve, as Anthony talked about last week. And what does he do? Well, he deceives. He's constantly deceiving. Now you have to understand something. Life will be so much better if you don't listen to what God has to say about this. Yeah, you have to understand, God's just doing this because he doesn't want what's best for you. You know better than he does. He's consistent. He's constantly lying to us. And it's amazing how subtle he can be. In this, it's amazing how subtle he can be in the ways that he just twists things just a little bit. And so as we're walking through the series, it's not that he steps in and says, no, God's against you. No, why? Because you're not going to believe that. You're not going to believe that God's against you with what we just talked about, with what we just looked at. And so he doesn't step into our lives and say, no, God's against you. No. He's better than that. He's far more subtle than that. And so rather than stepping in and saying, God's against you, what he does is he steps in and says, man, that would be amazing if. And this plays into the other thing that he's very, very, very good at, which is this. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 12 when it's talking about the end, when God finally steps in and says, no more. Listen to what it says. It says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because this is the end. He says, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And in this moment, God again is saying, you don't have to be afraid, but you need to be aware. You need to be aware of the reality that the one who's against you, well, he has some phenomenal integrity. He's constantly working to deceive. You also need to be aware of another thing that he consistently does. As a matter of fact, it says day and night. There's consistency that to his practice of this. And what is it that he's constantly doing? Not only is he deceiving, but he's constantly accusing. In other words, he's constantly stepping in and saying, yep, if. No. Look at how they screwed up. They don't deserve for you to be for them. Look at how they've been unfaithful. Look at what happened last night. Look at what happened with their wife. Look at what happened in that situation with their kids. And he's constantly accusing. And not only is he constantly bringing those accusations before God, he's constantly stepping into our lives and saying, yeah, that would be great if. I mean, let's be honest. You're not going to get it together. I mean, and this is what he does. He steps into our lives. Yes. God is for a lot of people because they got it right. They did it right. But I mean, come on. Let's be honest. It's not you. You can't possibly expect that God feels that way about you. And over, he steps into our lives and he brings the accusation. And as the passage says, he brings the accusation before God to say, no. You should give up on them. And it's so incredibly effective, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, how many times do you want to engage God about something that's happened in your life? To bring to him a prayer request, and you've thought to yourself, he'd probably listen if. Or maybe you felt he wasn't listening, and you said to yourself, well, I mean, that makes sense. With what happened, with the fact that I haven't been consistent in that time with him, but I mean that makes sense. He's incredibly effective at being the accuser. Remarkably subtle with his deception. And God says, you need to be aware of this. But you don't have to be afraid of it. And so I want for you to know that I'm working in your life. And we've seen in Scripture how he says, I'm working in your life for you to know what's true, to be able to overcome those lies. As a matter of fact, in Romans it says that God is working to transform us through the renewing of our minds, to constantly engaging us with the truth of who he is and what he's about, the fact that he is for us. And as we're working through this series, we're working to fight against those lies, to bring truth into those areas of deception and darkness. For some of you, this series is going to radically transform the way that you look at God completely, because you realize that you've been told things about him your whole life that just aren't true. And God wants for you to see the truth of who he actually is. For some of you, you're saying no, not to who God actually is, but to some lie that you've been told about him. And in this moment, God is stepping into your life with truth to say, no. You don't have to get it together to come to me. I'm pursuing you. In your brokenness, I'm pursuing you. No. I'm not standing back just hoping that you get it right. I'm moving before you and preparing you for what's ahead. Now, and God says, okay, you need to be aware of it, but understand, I'm working to counteract that. And even when it comes to the accusation, listen to what the Scriptures teach us about this aspect of the one who is against us. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says this: My dear children, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin. Now, does God want us to stop sinning? Absolutely, God wants us to stop sinning. God hates sin. He hates what it does to us. He hates what it does to the world around us. Does he want for us to walk down the path that leads to life? Yes. He wants for us to know that. He wants for us to bring that to the world around us. And so John says, I want for you to understand something. I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. He says, I want for you to experience that victory. But listen to what he says as he continues. But if anyone does sin, which is kind of an interesting way to say it, because he's talking to them about, because he wants them to understand, they can have a lot more victory than they think, which is true for every one of us. We can have a lot more victory than we think. And when the accuser begins to grab a hold of your life, it doesn't lead to more victory. When you start to think, man, if I could just, it doesn't lead to more victory. It actually leads to less victory. And he says, I want for you to realize that no, a lot more is possible. So he kind of phrases it in this interesting way, because of course they're going to sin. There's not really a question of whether or not it's going to happen, but he phrases it in this very unique way. But if anyone does sin, listen to what he says. We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He says, but when you fall, I want for you to understand something. When you fall, I want for you to understand, you have an advocate. An advocate is an attorney. He says, I want for you to understand, even in the midst of that moment when you fall short, and that accuser comes in and he brings that accusation, I want for you to understand something. You have an attorney. Now, this is really great news for those of you who are attorneys, because now you have really great company. Maybe for the first time in your lives, you have really great company. And when people give you a hard time about it, you can now tell them, no, Jesus is an attorney. I want you to understand, when people give you a hard time about being an attorney, and I keep wanting to say lawyer, but I've heard that you don't like to be called that anymore. And so I'm trying to use the word attorney here. The Scriptures call it an advocate, but you can know. I want for you to know something, that Jesus is an attorney. And specifically, God steps into our lives and says, I want for you to understand this. When you fall, you need to understand that yes, there is one who accuses you. There is one who accuses you. There is one who is against you. But you also need to understand that there is one who fights for you. There is one who fights for you. You have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. In this reality, that the only thing that will keep you from God's forgiveness is if you reject it. It has been made available to you. The payment has been made on your behalf. It doesn't matter who you are, all the world, doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. Jesus wants to fight for you too. And he's invited you to accept this incredible sacrifice that he's made for you. And God says, you need to be aware of the one who's against you and what he will use. But you also need to understand that you have one who fights for you. I remember early on when I first became a pastor, and I blew it. I blew it. And I remember falling into this funk, and I just kept thinking, man, God could. And people would talk, and I'd hear people talk about how God can use people. So maybe some of you, as you've been a part of Hope and Grace, you've heard us talk about how God can use you. We talk about Team Link and getting connected to that, and you thought, man, it would be amazing to be used by God. It would be amazing to be part of this mission with him. And I remember thinking, man, God, it would be amazing to be used by God if. And it was one of those things that I had struggled with. And sometimes you struggle with something for so long, you think, man, I'm not gonna win. And I thought, man, it would be amazing to be used by God if I could just get it together. And I remember sitting that for a time. And as I was struggling with it, I actually, one night, I had a dream. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying that this is like a dream from God or anything like that. But there have been a couple of times where God's used these things in my life and in this way. And I remember I had this dream, and in my dream, I was in the middle of a battle. And as I was in the middle of the battle, I fell. And as I fell, and as I found myself on the ground, I remember thinking, I'm never going to win. I'm never going to win. And you know how in dreams you can kind of sense things? Well, as I sat there on the ground, as my face was down, just found myself in the mud, I could sense the fact that God was near, that Jesus was near. And I didn't want to look up. Everything inside of me wanted to keep my head down because I knew if I looked up, I didn't know which face it would be. I didn't know if it would be a face of anger. I don't think it was actually anger that I expected to see on his face. I think it was just disappointment. I think it was just disappointment. Have you ever experienced that with someone that you love? Where you look at their face and they're just like, it's that disappointment, but it's not just disappointment, it's like temporary disappointment. It's disappointment like, you're not going to make it. I can't believe it happened again. That's what I expected. And so everything inside of me said, just keep your head down. Just keep your head down. But as we sat there, I realized I'm not going to be able to do this forever. And so I turned and I looked up. And what I saw shocked me. Now, some of you are expecting me to say that I looked up and it was a face of love and excitement. That's not actually what I saw. What I saw was him extending a sword to me. And the face was a face of determination. And he said, get up. Get up and fight. Get up and fight. And again, I'm not saying that this was a vision that God gave me or anything like that. But I know this. I know that God used that to drastically shift the way that I thought about this journey. Because I realized coming out of that, I realized that when I buy into the lies of the accuser, not only does it keep me from experiencing God, but it keeps me from the mission for which I was created. And all of a sudden, I realized how incredibly selfish it was for me to sit there and wallow in my own self-pity and to allow the accuser to be able to disable me in the midst of the battle because I was believing the lie. I was believing the lie that the advocate, my advocate, was not great enough to overcome that which I was struggling with. And you need to understand something. You need to understand something about who God is and how God works. And this is what this passage is trying to teach us. Because the reality is that our enemy comes before God. And our enemy brings charge after charge after charge after charge after charge. And he steps into our lives and he says, yeah. Yeah, but here's the indictment. And there's this and this. Oh, and let's not forget about that. And he brings charge after charge after charge after charge. And he sets it in front of us. And he says, you know what? God might have been able to forget the first few pages. But look at the stack. I mean, yeah, He might have forgiven it the first 20 times. But let's be honest. And we look at it. And we think this. I wouldn't forgive someone that many times. So we think, well, there's no way that he would. But God steps into our lives and says, I want for you to understand something. You have one who fights for you. And when the accuser comes and the accuser brings the indictment, and he stands before the Father and says, yeah, but look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this. There's one who stands beside him. There's one who stands beside him and says, you know what? You're right. Yep. They did that. Yeah, and they did that, and they did that, and they did that, and they did that. But you have to understand something. You have to understand something. You see this? Well, this is paid for. And this? What happened here? Well, that's paid for. Oh, yesterday. Yeah, paid for. Oh, what happened this morning? Paid for. What happened last week? Paid for. What happened last month? Paid for. What happened last year? Paid for. What happened in their past? Paid for. What happens tomorrow? Paid for. And one by one by one, he says, come on. It's paid for. And you can spend all day, you can spend all week, you can spend all year, you can spend all of eternity bringing whatever you want. It's paid for. You have an advocate who is fighting for you Do not allow the accuser to take you out. It's not just the Father who needs to hear. It's not just in heaven where that needs to be heard. Listen to me. Today, I want you to hear it at the core of your soul. It is paid for. And you don't just need to hear it so that you'll experience forgiveness. You need to hear it because you have a battle to fight, not just for you, but for your family, for your kids, for your coworkers, for the world around you. The question is not if. The question is when. When will you stop allowing the accuser to keep you from the battle you were created to fight and to win? It's paid for. Let's go. Will you pray with me? Father, what an unbelievable reality, not just that you paid for it, but that you fight for us in this way. Jesus, that you are our advocate, even now at the right hand of the Father, arguing for us. I pray that today that would be heard, not just in your presence, but that would be heard in the souls and the lives of everyone listening. And for those who have not yet believed you about what you have done for them and accepted that into their lives, I pray that today would be the day where they say, no. I want you to fight for me too. I want for you to be the one who represents me. I need for you to be the one who represents me. In Jesus' name, amen.